Srila Prabhupada's purport. When passing through a mountainous region in an airplane, one may sometimes see a city in the sky with towers and palaces, or one may see similar things in a big forest. This is called a Gandharvapura, a phantasmagoria. This entire world resembles such a phantasmagoria. And every materially situated person has attachment for it. But Gotwanga Maharaj, because of his advanced Krishna consciousness, was not interested in such things. Even though a devotee may engage in apparently materialistic activities, he knows his position very well. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchite. If one engages all material things in relation with the loving service of the Lord, one is situated in Yukta Vairagya, proper renunciation. In this material world, nothing should be accepted for one's sense gratification. Everything should be accepted for the service of the Lord. This is the mentality of the spiritual world. Maharaj Gotwanga advises that one should give up material attachments and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus one achieves success in life. This is pure bhakti yoga, which involves vairagya vidya, renunciation and knowledge. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga siksharthameka purusha purana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Budhir Yastamaham Prapadye. Let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has appeared now as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the ocean of all mercy and has come down to teach us material detachment, learning, and devotional service to himself. Chaitanya Chandradaya Nataka, 674. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated this movement of Vairagya Vidya, by which one detaches himself from material existence and engages in loving devotional service. The Krishna consciousness movement of devotional service is the only process by which to counteract our false prestige in this material world. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilita Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Ateshu Maya Rachiteshu Sangam Guneshu Gandharva Puropameshu Rudham Prakrityatmani Vishvakartur Bhavena Hitva Tamam Prapadye. Therefore, I should now give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in thought of the Lord and should thus surrender unto Him. This material creation, having been created by the external energy of the Lord, is like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or in a forest. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things. But one must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I have to say that I've never had this experience, passing through a mountainous region and seeing a city in the sky with towers and palaces. I'm not sure what this means exactly. It sounds like hallucination. Unless Prabhupada's talking about cloud formations, I'm not sure. Or he says one must see similar things and might see similar things in the forest. In other places, Prabhupada talks about the will of the wisp, where he says it's caused by gases coming up. There's some place that's explained. Sometimes you see some light if you're in the forest and there's a swamp there. The gases might create some kind of light. So some kind of illusion is created. You see something that's not there. Of course, we all have the experience of mirages. Even though we don't live in the desert, we see them driving down the highway sometimes. Looks like there's water on the road, but it's not. It's created by the heat. So we're seeing something that's not actually there, or mistaking one thing for something else. So in this example that Prabhupada gives, of course, it's very detailed. You think you see a whole city. So you're really mistaken. There's actually nothing there. So even though I don't have experience of that, I have experience of the other thing, which this is a metaphor for. We take this material world to be real. Even, of course, science today tells us that the forms that we see, they're not real because they don't last, for one thing. The Bhagavad Gita says real things, sat. What is sat is that which exists, which stays, is permanent. So the forms that are temporary, in one sense, they're not real because they're temporary, they're gone. So all the things that we see in this world, they're temporary. And of course, the whole world itself. The example that's given in the Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura's introduction to Brahma Samhita, where he says it's like clouds come and it rains, and then there's some vegetation for some time, and then after a while it all dries up, goes away. So similarly, this world is like that. It's temporary. For some time it's manifest. We see it and we take it to be real or substantial. My last class I talked about this word vastu, substance. What is substantial? What is real? So the material world, we think that it's permanent, but it's not. It's like changing of the seasons. Things come and go. So this discussion of the material world is part of the overall aspect of our studying philosophy in terms of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. Sambandha, the word sambandha means to connect. Of course, Sanskrit words have various meanings sometimes, but this is one meaning, bandha, like bondage. So the connection between things. This is one idea of sambandha. In our philosophy, we categorize things. If you ever read Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you'll see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very fond of categorizing things. He has categories for everything. So one of our categories is made up of three things: God, the living entity, and the material world. These are three major categories, which pretty much encapsulates everything. Then there are subcategories from that. You can go out from that and divide it further and further and further. But sambandha, one aspect of sambandha is to understand these three things and the relationship between them, each one. Just like when you have three sides of a triangle, so each corner is connected to two corners, to the other two. So we have to understand the relationship between God and the living entity, God and the material world, and the living entity and the material world. So this is part of what we're hearing about here. First of all, God in the material world. What is his connection to it? In this verse, it's mentioned that he is Vishvakartur. He's the one who created it. He's the one who created this illusion of the material world. He's the artist, the magician. He's sometimes called a magician. Just like a magician creates an illusion. Sometimes they're very expert at it. People just scratch their heads and say, "What? Huh? What? I saw him do that. How is that possible?" And sometimes we think they actually have mystic powers. That may be true, but generally people don't. There's just trickery, sleight of hand, mirrors and other things they use to distract us. They distract our attention and we see something that's not there. So Krishna does that with the material world also. He creates it, but the whole thing is just a show. How does he create it and how does he control it? This is all that's mentioned here. Guneshu, through the modes of material nature. The modes of material nature are something subtle. It's a little hard to understand what exactly a mode is. We use the word mode. Guna. Our translation is mode. What is a mode? Give me a bucket full of mode. Alamode. We know what alamode is, but that's something different. So what is a mode? It's we think of it maybe as energy. There's an energy of creation. Passion, we say passion is a creative energy. That's connection to the mode of creative energy. And there's an energy of sustenance and an energy of destruction. These are another three categories. Another nice thing about our philosophy, how it makes so much sense when you think of things in these categories, how you can divide everything into these things. Things are created, things are maintained, and things are destroyed. That's it. So the gunas control all of that. Control the material world, how it's doing that. Things are being created, maintained, the illusion is being created, maintained for some time, and then destroyed. So Krishna does that through his gunas. So that's his connection. Now his connection to this material world, of course, is very subtle. When we study Shiva Tattva, Lord Shiva is Krishna's connection to the material world, because Krishna himself, he's always transcendental. When Vyasadeva has his realization, which is mentioned in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, through his bhakti yogena manasi, in his meditation in bhakti yoga, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he saw that the material nature, Maya, was standing in the background. So she's behind Krishna. He, you might say, turns away from her. He doesn't have a direct connection. But his direct connection is through Lord Shiva. That's why Lord Shiva is almost Vishnu Tattva. He's almost God. Because really he is God, but because he has some little touch with the material energy. Of course, Krishna's connection with the material energy is also sometimes described as his glance. That's as close as he gets. He glances. That's his contact with the material energy. But we know that what we learn about Sambandha, about this material world, our understanding of tattva, categories of truth, is that the material world is made up of the energy of God. This seems so logical to us. But we know that in Christian theology, this idea is not really there. In Christian theology, in Judeo-Christian theology, God created this world out of nothing. Not out of his energy, out of nothing. So in that sense, really it has no connection with him. This sometimes causes problems, because how do you relate to this world if it has no relationship to God whatsoever? So our philosophy, of course, is that it's God's energy. In one sense, it is him. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan ivetara is described in the first canto. That this world, idam hi vishvam, this vishva, this world, Bhagavan, God, Eva and Itara. Eva means it's the same, and Itara means it's different. They're other. So it's the same as God, and it's different from God. You can see how our philosophy is not just concocted out of thin air. It's there, written there in the Bhagavatam, right here in the first canto. What do we say? Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. This, of course, this idea of achintya beda beda tattva, it applies also, but it applies to, I'm talking about relationships, so the relationship between God and the material world, this applies. God is the material world, but he's also not the material world. So God is also the jiva. We're also God, in a sense, because we're part of him, and we're spirit. And this is sometimes a philosophical problem, because people think, well, how can we be a particle of a spirit? Because you can't cut spirit. How can there be a particle of it? Spirit must mean only one thing, because you can't take a... It has to be uncuttable. That's what it says in the Bhagavad Gita. You can't cut it. Nainam chindanti. So this is, again, we say, no, but in other places it's explained. How it's cut, but it's not cut. Their connection is still there. Why? Because it's spirit, and you can't think in a material way. You can't think in a material way. But of course, this there's also the argument that everything that God created, or this world, you might say, is God exploded into unlimited number of pieces, because we see there's all the different parts and particles. So that means that God became many. Eko Bahusyam. Actually, this is said there in the Vedas. So their idea is that then he lost himself. He must be gone. Therefore, this world is God. Pantheism. This world is God. And there's no separate God beyond that. Because this is what he became. Of course, the Isha Upanishad solves that problem. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. that God is so amazing, his characteristic of the absolute truth is that he can duplicate himself and he doesn't diminish at all. So you have to get rid of material thinking. What Prabhupada said about the Mayavadis. So they admit that everything is Maya, therefore they're Maya, but they're thinking that with their thinking they're going to get out of Maya. But how can they? Their Maya thinking, which is part of this world, can't transcend. So they're always stuck in thinking in material ways, looking at this material world and trying to apply it to the absolute truth. But it doesn't work. That's therefore we say it is achintya. Achintya kalu ye bhava natang starakina yojait. It says in the Mahabharata, the absolute truth is achintya. Tarko pratishta sutaya vivinna. Therefore, just by arguing, debating, you'll never get the absolute truth. You'll never come to a conclusion. You'll never find true siddhanta. So you have to get it from those who are in touch with the absolute truth. For the absolute truth has to reveal himself. So this is our position. We accept from the absolute truth, not by our own speculation. There was a major I've been reading recently about Descartes. So Descartes is actually to blame for everything, you might say. He's where history turned. He's a major figure in history. Because before Descartes, of course, there was a lot of superstition and so on, strange things people believed in. But everything was tied to accepting from authority, you might say. But with Descartes, then reason became supreme. The age of reason, the Enlightenment, which is the foundation of modernism. That with our minds, with our own minds, we're going to be able to figure everything out. And this, of course, is connected to the scientific method and Bacon and so on, and analyzing everything. He started this avalanche of investigation. It became overwhelming, actually. They started categorizing everything they could and looking at everything very closely and thinking that if we just look at nature very, very closely, study it in detail and use our reason. Actually, Descartes is more just thinking. Use our reason, we'll be able to figure it out. And that's where we stand today, really. People don't want to accept spiritual authority. They want to just try to figure it out. Pick from here, pick from there. Create their own philosophy. But we say that you'll never be successful that way. You have to accept from the self-realized soul. So we learn, again, that we're seeing big pictures. We're seeing how God connects to this world, how God connects to the living entity, what the relationship is. Of course, that's the most important thing to us, what our relationship is with Krishna. Sometimes I've given this example. You can boil everything down to three things. Bhagavan, Bhakta, and Bhakti, these three things. That's really the essence of reality. Krishna and the devotee, and the exchange between them. So that's the sambandha there. And then what is our relationship to the material world? That's more what this verse today is actually about. What is our relationship to the material world? This, we get our guidance from Srila Rupa Goswami in his verses, Anasakta Shavishayan Yatarham Puyanjita Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Muchite. Prabhupada quotes a couple of lines from that. The devotee lives in this world, doesn't renounce it completely. Because if just like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, when he heard the philosophy, what was his first reaction? Well, this, I'm not this body. This world is just an illusion. So I should just give everything up. Well, why should I even live? I should just go off someplace and meditate. But Krishna said, no. That's not the idea. You have to do everything, but you connect it to me and be detached. Vairagya. Vigata raga iti vairagya. Prabhupada defines vairagya. One of this, maybe the Amara Kosha dictionary, some dictionary Prabhupada quotes. So he analyzes the word vairagya. So vairagya, you can say, is also viragya. So Prabhupada translates it as vigata raga iti vairagya. So vairagya means vigata raga. Vigata means to give up, go away from raga. So vairagya means actually to have not to have no attachment to something, to give up attachment to something. It doesn't necessarily mean to give it up. It means to give up your attachment to it. So how do you do that? Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. You give your give up your attachment to it by attaching it to Krishna. And then Prapan Chikataya Budya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna. This Vastu again comes up in this verse. Why is this world Vastu? Why is it substantial in one sense? Because it's Krishna Sambandhe, because it's connected to Krishna. It's Krishna's energy. This is the argument against the atheists. Prabhupada says you can't reject it because it's Krishna's. It's connected to Krishna. Therefore, it has some kind of value. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchite. So there are two kinds of vairagya mentioned in these verses. Pogu Vairagya. Pogu means weak or small or meager. And yukta vairagya, the word yukta is connected with the word yoga. So it means vairagya which is engaged. It's kind of a paradoxical phrase, actually. It means connected disconnection, you might say. Yukta vairagya. So this word pogu, interestingly, it comes up in this verse about jivo jivasya jivanam. Poguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. One living entity is food for another. Poguni tatra mahatam. The weak is subsistence for the strong. So I heard Vidyananda Maharaj commenting on this one time, these two words. He said, see, this is very nice. Pogu, the pogu vairagi is subsistence for the mahatma, mahatam. The mahatma is one kind of vairagi, and the pogu vairagi is meager, small. So the mahatma is big, so they always conquer. The mahatma, the devotee of Krishna, is always superior, devours intellectually the pogu vairagi, whose idea is actually small because they don't get the big picture, how everything is connected with Krishna. So anyway, I'm going a little long here. So anyway, this is one of the point that's being discussed here, is this how, what is our connection to the material world and what is the material world's connection to Krishna, especially these two points are brought out here. So the translation again, therefore I should now give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in thought of the Lord and should thus surrender unto Him. This material creation, having been created by the external energy of the Lord, is like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or in a forest. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things, but one must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any questions or comments? Yes, Ramya Prabhu.
It seems like this is the situation, the living entity in the material world has been somewhat simplified here. This attachment that he has for the material world is actually quite great and quite difficult, and to simply say surrender unto the Lord is something that takes quite a while to struggle with, it seems like, mm-hmm. on average, except for maybe Maharaj Katvanga, a few souls. So you could explain a little bit how and why it is the living entity so much deeply attached and attracted to this material world, even after coming in contact.
Why does the attachment continue? Well, it's very strong. The living entity is very strong. So our desires are very strong. We're powerful. So when we get attached to something, that attachment is very, very strong. Now we know that energy, Prabhupada in one place, he says, I think it's in the teachings of Queen Kunti, which means it's from a lecture. He says, consciousness is the platform of attachment. I always thought that was an interesting phrase. To me, what it implies is that because we're conscious entities, we have to be attached to something. So when we turn away from Krishna, Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhoga Vanchakari, when we turn away from Krishna, turn our backs on Krishna, then we have this attachment energy, you might say. Now, attachment also means love. If you look up, we use this word attach a lot, attachment. Attachment is just a synonym for love also. It just means to love. So when we give up our love for Krishna, we have to love something because this energy comes from us. It's who we are. It's part of our being. So it has to go somewhere. So we lock it onto something else. We lock it onto the wrong things. We try, because of envy of Krishna, of course, that's at the root of it all. It's envy of Krishna. And that envy of Krishna is eternal, in one sense. We've been in this world for so long. And it's very deep, deep-rooted. We become a competitor to Krishna, the Bhagavatam says, because of envy of him. So in any case, we become attached to this world and very strong. So we get, and then in Krishna consciousness, now what we see here, tamaham prapadye, we find this phrase often in the Bhagavatam, in our Vaishnav literature. Now I'll surrender. Kamadinam katina katida is another verse. A devotee says, I have unlimited desires, I've served them, but they're like a wicked master, they never give up on me. But now I've got my intelligence, now I've decided I'm going to surrender to Krishna. So this is where it starts, that determination. I'm going to surrender to Krishna. That switch has to be turned on. And then our spiritual life begins. Then we have to make gradual progress because we've been here a long time. We've been attached to so many bodies. We have everything, every situation we've been in, we become attached to it. It's so easy to see how attached people are. And what happens when they're torn from that, just like if somebody gets kidnapped and they're taken away from everything they know. So it's so traumatic an experience. We may even feel it if we just go to another country. We're attached to Alachua, the familiar things. So we have attachments in this world, and our hearts become Riddhi Sprisha, it's described about Bharat Maharaj. All these things in this world, family, society, friendship, so on, for the king, his kingdom, who says, Jaha Yuvaiva Malava, Uttama Shloka Lalasa. The Bharat Maharaj, he actually gave up those things that generally our heart is tied to them very tightly. So that's our nature, we become attached. But why was Bharat Maharaj able to give those things up? Because Uttama Shloka Lalasa, because he was attracted by Uttama Shloka, by Krishna. He couldn't think of anything else but getting Krishna. So this is our process, of course. This is what we're trying to do. Our attachments are so strong, so we're trying to qualify ourselves to be receptive to the pull of Krishna. It's like a magnet. I think Prabhupada uses this example. If a piece of metal is rusty, then it won't be susceptible to the pull of the magnet. So you have to get that rust off. Then you'll feel the magnet will pull. So similarly for us, we have so much rust accumulated, cheto darpanam arjanam, so we're trying to clean that off so the pull will be there. Krishna is naturally all attractive, but we have lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of rust blocking the way, and it takes some time to clean that all away. All right, it's quarter till. We'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.